Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager, Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We hope you all have gone through our financials press release and the presentation which has been posted in the investor relations section of our website. We have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, updates on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for the ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement contained in the presentation. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectation or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. Without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking your time, and I welcome you all to the conference call for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2023. Starting with a quick brief on global conditions. Global condition scenario continues to remain uncertain, with cues of recession resulting in layoffs and inflation remain elevated, and the geographical political crisis remain fluctuant. We see a pickup in consumer demand, and hopefully it will further improve as we enter in the new financial year. The raw material prices are under control, and the supply chain issues are also resolved to a great extent. We hope this scenario remains stable in the coming quarters. Despite all the uncertainties, our quarter four financial results demonstrated an improved top-line growth. The growth in the number are driven, essentially driven by animal nutrition and bioprocessing segment. As far as the quarterly performance, our top line stood at 1,387 million, grew 5% on year-on-year basis, and on a sequential basis, it is declined by around 2% in quarter four. Our annual top line stood at 5,406 million, that is 2% growth. Our EBITDA stood at 441 million, grew 9% on year-on-year basis and 6% on sequential basis. It saw a decline of 22% for financial year 23. We have experienced a significant growth of 27% in the bottom line on year-on-year basis, while on sequential basis, it grew 15%. Our full year PAT declined by 16%. On the margin side, EBITDA margin stood at 32% and PAT margin stood at 23% during the quarter four. For financial year 23, these margins stood at 29% and 19% respectively. This decline in our margin is due to fluctuating input material prices and elevated fuel costs, which resulted in a higher operating cost for the company during the year. Talking about the segment-wise performance, human nutrition. The human nutrition segment remained highest contributor as is usual at 63% in the revenue. It grew by 1% on year-on-year basis, while it declined by 6% on sequential basis. For financial year 23, it is declined by 1%. Pharma API in domestic market and nutrition is and nutrition in international markets primarily supported the numbers in human nutrition. There is softness in the probiotic business and demand remained subdued in the domestic as well as in the international markets. Animal nutrition. Our animal nutrition business is performing really well and contributed 15% to the revenue in quarter four. This segment is significantly and continuously improved during consecutive quarters. It grew by 36% on year-on-year basis and 17% on sequential basis and 27% during financial year 23. Bioprocessing. During the quarter, bioprocessing segment contributed 14% to the revenue. It grew by 2% on year-on-year basis and declined 15% on sequential basis. For full year, this segment grew by 19%. Food and non-food business grew by 15% and 31% respectively on year-on-year basis. The specialized manufacturing segment contributed 8% and grew by 31% on sequential basis, while it remained flat on year-on-year basis. For financial year 23, this segment declined by 26%. A brief on key developments during the year. We invested rupees 60 million for 50% stake in Sai Ganesh NGTech Solution and this company has further acquired a firm engaged in the similar business on a company in the slump sale basis for a consideration of rupees 9 million. We have also acquired an additional stake of 4.83% in our subsidiary JC Biotech. Now our stake is 89.83%. Our two US step-down subsidiaries, LST Enzymes and Dynamic Enzymes, got approval from State of California to merge and form a single entity naming AST Enzymes. I would say we are in our constant endeavor to keep introducing newer and commercially viable products and molecules. We will continue to focus on our priorities of customer retention, strengthening R&D, foraying business operations in newer geographies, expand solutions and product offerings, register more products across global regulatory bodies, and to look for strategic inorganic opportunities. We will bring more resilience in our business to enhance customer value proposition and deliver long-term sustainable growth going ahead. With this, I will now hand over this call to Mr. Rauka-ji. He will speak me through the financial and key subsidiary numbers. Over to you, Rauka-ji. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mukund. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. FY23 remained a roller coaster ride for the company. Subdued consumer demand across the globe, elevated input costs, coupled with lower international sales, in particular in the US market, affected our overall margin during FY23. On the company's consolidated financials for the fourth quarter and fiscal year 2023, let me give you year-on-year numbers. The revenue increased by 70 million, about 5%, from 1,317 million to 1,387 million. EBITDA increased by 38 million, 9%, from 403 million, which is about 31% of our top line, to 441 million, 32% of our revenue. Profit before tax increased by 81 million, which is 24% of our revenue, from 340 million rupees to 421 million rupees, and it's about 30% of our revenue. PAT has increased by rupees 68 million, about 27% of our revenue, from rupees 253 million to rupees 321 million, which is about 23% of our revenue. On quarter-on-quarter basis, the sequential basis, the revenue is decreased by 2% from 1,421 million to 1,387 million. EBITDA increased by 24 million from 417 million to 441 million, which constitutes about 32% of our top line. Profit before tax increased by about rupees 17 million from 404 million to 421 million rupees, and it's about 30% of our top line. Profit after tax is increased by rupees 42 million from 279 million to rupees 321 million. So PAT is about 23% during this quarter. Let me give you the financial year numbers, annual numbers. So for FY23 and FY22, our revenue is increased by rupees 112 million. A 2% of growth in our revenue from rupees 5,294 million to rupees 5,406 million. EBITDA is decreased during this year. So the decrease is of about rupees 450 million from rupees 2014 million, which was about 38% of our revenue, to rupees 1,564 million. So we have a EBITDA of 29% during this year. Profit before tax decreased by rupees 307 million from rupees 1,711 million to rupees 1,404 million. Profit after tax is decreased by rupees 199 million from rupees 1,238 million to rupees 1,039 million. So our PAT margin is about 19% during this financial year as compared to 23% during last year. Now the EBITDA is down mainly because of a couple of reasons which I would like to give you some summary or some flavor on it. So during this FY23, the prices of various inputs have gone up substantially. So that has impacted our raw materials, power and fuel, consumption of stores, spares, consumables, and of course, you know, other costs where, you know, carrying out some repairs of machinery, building. So all that cost have gone up substantially during FY23. So this has resulted into lower gross contribution of about rupees 108 million and other expenses with comprising of stores, spares, power and fuel, repairs. This has also additional cost of about 234 million, and in addition to that, the payroll cost has gone up mainly because of, you know, the annual increment given by the company and all its subsidiaries. And of course, there is another element of the FX fluctuation, because rupee has depreciated by about 8% during this year. So that also, you know, includes a element of FX fluctuation in FY23. In addition to that, we have fair value loss of about rupees 27 million in other expenses, which is mainly because of the valuation of mark-to-market valuation of investments of our US subsidiary. And we do have some losses on account of some of the impairment of assets which we have done during this year. So that is about 15 million. So this is, you know, the main reason during this FY23, our profit after tax is gone down substantially as compared to FY22. Our B2C segment overall basis, if I compare the revenue for FY23 to FY22, it's gone down from 412 million to 383 million. Our top 10 customers contribute about 24% of our sales as compared to 28% during the corresponding financial year FY22. JCB has reported a PAT, I mean this is negative, of course, profit after tax, which is a loss of about 10 million as against 20 million during the previous quarter. The top line remains same in case of JCB of about 107 million as compared to, it's flattish, 107 million as compared to 112 million. Evoke is EBITDA positive and also the PAT has also increased from 8 million to 11 million. And for the financial year FY23, the revenue has increased by about 10% in Evoke and EBITDA is increased by about 127% from 26 million to 59 million. And the company has reported a positive profit after tax of 21 million as compared to a loss of about 16 million during FY22. And geography wise, if I give the revenue of international sales and domestic sales, the domestic market is about 47 as compared to 44 last year. We have spent about 9% of our standalone numbers of India on our research and development activities, and on consolidated basis our research and development expenditures are about 6% in FY23 as compared to 5% during FY22. This is all from my side. We open this call for your question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Jitinder Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I have one question and that is related to slide 23 of your presentation. If I look at those numbers from your March 22 presentation also.
There are more than 20 parties in the conference.
Hello? Yes, Jitendraji. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Please go.
Yeah. So I'm referring to slide 23 of your current year's presentation, where you give the opportunity size and what is addressable by Advanced Enzymes. And if I look at last year to this year, practically there is zero improvement except for animal nutrition. And even to that extent, whatever that has gone up by, the rest have actually declined. And what is strange is in the last year's presentation, which is the March 22 presentation, you've written that this is your target for the next 5 years. Again, this year's presentation says that this is a target for the next 5 years. Is this a rolling target, or is this something that ideally you should achieve and then report a progress as to what you have done within that segment during the current year? If you could give a sense out of that, I think that is more useful.
Okay, we have the slide number 23. I don't have it right now.
Yes, I have that slide. What he's talking about is human nutrition. Last year numbers were about 41 million. That is what we have reported. And I think, Jitendra, this is like, you know, exact numbers. In terms of the USD, we have 40.5 million during this year.
Yes. Yes.
So you see, what I mean, we have only 2% of growth, you know.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to say is, in the previous column, what you all report is that there is an addressable market, which is something like 200 million, right?
Yeah, correct.
Right. So what I want to know as an investor or as an outsider is, out of this 200 million, how much was captured during the current year? If you can give some idea in each of those segments, because the numbers seem to remain static on a year-on-year basis. So if I am as an outsider, if I look at those numbers, to me, it seems that there is zero progress in terms of moving towards your addressable market. So is my assessment right? Or is it that there is some disclosure that you would wish to give, which will help me understand this better?
Yeah, there are some components of, you know, the entire human nutrition business, frankly speaking. So one has to look at the entire composition of that. And then, you know, one can map out really where we have grown and where are, like, you know, couple of things which need to be addressed in due course.
So out of the 200 million which was last year, how much has been mined, or whatever, I'm probably using the wrong word, but how much of it has been monetized or been able to crack during the current year, if you could give that number?
Because the numbers are not there at this point of time with me, but I can say that these human nutrition numbers are compromising of Indian pharma market as well as the nutraceutical market from the US, and numbers what we are addressing more into the addressable market is on the biocatalyst side, right? And this year the number looks same because the human nutrition market business in the US, there is a lot of slowdown. We see that the US business in terms of dollar is down by 15%, while the overall, when we look at it, it's just the down by 1%. There is some impact, and even though like some business we could gain from the biocatalyst areas, but this has not reflected because of the like some business is on the recession in the US. So if that can be just idea, probably like I think this can be
that. Exactly is what my answer question is, sir.
So I don't know exact numbers, but there is in the biocatalyst area. That's what I can say. Even though like in the last year also we said that this the business will not come in the first 2 years or one and a half years. Yes, we had certain breakthroughs in some of the biocatalyst areas and some of the some products are being there on the commercialized side. So really like this year probably those numbers will be a little bit more effective.
Okay. And I'm not sure if this is the right way to compare, but a lot of companies in the same industry seem to suggest that there is China Plus One, which is technically a real opportunity. Are there any tailwinds that you are able to see because of that? Or is that question not relevant?
What the way I see is like we have basically two components of the business. One component of the business is the US side, which is which is under really the recession side. When we talk about India sites, probably like India sites, we have grown almost about 14% this year. The tailwind, what you are saying, we can see on the India side. There is a lot of pool which is coming up, which was not there earlier. And the China is
Can you just repeat the last one? Sorry, sir.
So the way we see that is India business, there is a lot of pull. We see that the China plus one statement, what we are talking about, is working out for the business at this point of time. U.S. business, we see that this trend will continue for another 1 or 2 quarters, and then there should be improvements, because we launched few of the products in the last quarter, last year, I guess, and now we are doing some long-term agreements and other things. But this will take another 1 or 2 quarters to really convert. So this recession will still continue for another 1 quarter or 2 quarters in the U.S. business. India-China business, this China plus one policy, we see that again in the second half of this year, we should have a good business on the India side.
Perfect. That is helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jitendra.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, Nikhil.
Yeah, sure. Sir, I just wanted to understand some things. So I believe in the opening remarks, you had mentioned that there was a lot of input cost pressure and other cost inflation issues that were faced in FY22. So going forward, let's say in FY24 and FY25, how do you see these costs rationalizing? And when your margins were sustainably above 40% prior to COVID, so when do you see that those 40% number of margins can be reached? How soon or how far are we from that kind of a normalized environment?
So, Nikhilji, the cost pressures and the fuel pressures, those were there in the last year. Currently, we see that some of the commodities are coming back to the normal. Examples are like soy oil, soya flour, they are getting back to the normal. When we talk about the fuel, coal and other things, those are still like on a higher side from what it used to be. It used to be say around rupees 5. Currently, it's running at around 12 to 13. It went up to 17. Okay. So, on the fuel side, yes, there is that. But the margins, I think if the margins will come back once our U.S. business start growing, or it will come to the, at least on par. What is happening right now is like all the fixed expenses are on the same side, are on the fixed side. And when there is a big growth of 15% kind of like revenue in the U.S. because of the recession, that just impacts on the margins. So, probably the way we look at it is maybe like in the, as we move on after the second quarter of this year, we should start improving on the margin fronts.
Okay. So if I break down the costs, different costs, input cost, your energy cost, your freight cost. So raw material cost is what we're seeing has kind of normalized or is close to getting normalized. But the energy costs are still on the higher side, and freight costs would have normalized. Am I right in assuming these three things?
You are right to a certain extent. Yes, I can say that you are right. Okay,
understood. But 40% and plus margins are doable again at some point in time.
Yeah, we are waiting for the US business to get normalized.
Okay, understood. So my second question is slightly larger picture question. If I look at the global enzymes market, Novozymes is the global leader with, I think, 50% market share. And please correct me if I'm wrong in reading this. So essentially, if advanced enzymes were to grow more than the industry, and I think industry growth is not more than 6-7% at a global level, you essentially have to take away market share from a player like Novozymes. When I look at their disclosures and your disclosures, there seems to be a pretty stark difference in how the R&D pipeline is for that company, which is obviously a global pioneer, versus what for advanced index? Only for the disclosures. What I'm not able to read, I can't kind of assume that you don't have anything in the pipeline. So am I again right in assuming that in order to grow in double digits, 12-13% or 10%, whatever, you have to question or take up a market from Novozymes?
The certain extent, yes, but there are a lot of gray areas which are still there, right? And what is happening is that Novozyme is also there. There is a cost ratio in Novozyme. If you really go through that, there is a lot of like cost. They have passed on the cost to the consumers, right? So that is one area where you can do it, but we are not competing with Novozyme in all the areas. The real competition with Novozyme is only in the food area. And that is the area where we are really competing with Novozyme. Rest of the areas, we do our own niche market. I don't see like you just need to take the Novozyme share to grow. You are like very small compared to Novozyme. Novozyme sale is more than $1 billion, couple of $1 billion, and your sale is like hardly $60-70 million. So there is a lot of opportunity and a lot of gray areas are there, which we can take.
Okay. So, but if I look up, I have looked at the numbers of that company. The company's margins are fairly healthy for a Europe-focused business model. And even the return on capital employed for that company is more than 20%. So for a global company, despite in such an environment where they are able to do decent margins and the ROC is also pretty good, is it really the cost which can drive the market share movement towards your company? It doesn't seem to be the case, right? I mean, those margins are reasonable enough, those ROCs are reasonable enough for them to keep on operating and keep on going. So then what is it that you will bring to the table which will help you to gain market share?
There are a lot of other factors which are there and which is right now is being played out. What has happened in this war area or this whatever is happening in Ukraine war or other areas, people are looking for the alternatives. There is only one supplier in the global area for most of the products like Novozyme, as you are mentioning, and people were happy in the earlier stage. Now, Novozyme has suddenly like increased the prices 10%, 20% some of the products, and this has because the energy cost in Europe has gone up, and this has forced people to look for the alternatives, the sustainability, and we see a lot of traction which is coming out during the last quarter as well as this quarter. What we are seeing is like some of the people started looking for the alternative supply. And they want to go with the second supplier as well. And this is where like our pitch is. And this is where we can grab some of the market share from the nose end, the area where we are competing in.
Understood. Sir, given this is a B2B business model, now we have closed FY23 with a 5% growth in 4Q and 2% in full year FY23. I mean, it's very difficult for us to kind of build out aggressive growth numbers given what has happened in FY19, 20, 21, 22. Any guidance you might want to share for FY24, 25?
In year FY24, 25, I mean 23, 24, right? Or 24,
yeah,
25.
Next year and the subsequent year, what kind of growth profile should we expect?
So next year we can say is like a double-digit growth, mid-level of double-digit growth. Coming after like, but most of the growth will come in the second half of this year.
You mean it's the second half of FY24?
Yeah.
And mid level double digit means somewhere around mid-teens, right? That you're alluding to?
Somewhere around 15 plus.
15 plus?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, I mean, what's the visibility on this number? I mean, are there orders that you already have in the bag which have to be executed, or you are expecting that given the activity has been so thin in last few months, last few quarters, that natural course is that this activity will come back?
So this is like depending on whatever has been there in the pipeline, whatever the sales positions what we have based on the customers, what are the mapping what we have done for this year.
Okay, understood. How many launches are planned for next 12 months, next 24 months? Can you give some idea on that as well?
I can't comment on that, but honestly speaking, there are more than 25 inventions which are under the pipeline at this point.
Sorry, there are more than 25 products which are under the pipeline?
Yeah, those are under the pipeline, but it always takes some time for the commercialization, right? There might be 2, 3, 4 inventions might be under the commercialization at this point.
Got it. Can you share the R&D number for FY23? What will you classify as R&D and what is that number for FY23-22? Last 2 years?
You made a spending on the R&D?
Yeah, I mean, what is the R&D spend?
So, Rafferty has already mentioned, I think like it's 9% on the AETL number and 6% on the total revenue.
Yes, 6%
of total revenue. Okay.
That is also including the Evoks.
Understood. Okay. And what should this number look like going forward? R&D to sales?
So the numbers are going to be more or less same. Probably like we might spend 1% extra. We are like we are developing our new R&D centers, right? As we mentioned last 2-3 times. So that is still under progress. Probably. The new building will be finished by next year, maybe April, May of next year. So, yes, but the numbers will remain in the same range till that time.
Okay.
So, let me give one clarification regarding the research and development expenditure. So, what expenditure we are talking about, 6% on consolidated numbers for during FY23, and 5% during FY22, Evoks, which is one of our, you know, subsidiary, which is basically into research and development. So whatever, you know, the receipts of this Evoks is there from the research and development activities which they carry out. So when we plot our R&D expenditure, we include those expenditures as well. So that's how, you know, we are talking about the 6% and 5%.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. And just one clarification here. So when we are talking about margin expansion going back to over 40%, that includes this 6% plus 1% extra R&D spend that we are budgeting, right?
Now, out of that, there are some kind of, you know, capital expenditure as well. So that, of course, you know, depends upon every year how much, you know, capital expenditure are done. That we need to definitely, you know, exclude from that. Overall, you know, 9% or 6%, whatever we are saying.
Okay.
So CapEx keeps on changing, you know. But recurring expenses, more or less, you know, we see the growing trend. Like last year, we have spent about 3 million on our, I'm sorry, 245 million on our recurring expenses, as compared to 216 million on recurring expenditure during FY22. And CapEx was about 50 million during this year as compared to about 16 million during the previous year. So those are kind of, you know, expenditure on standalone basis which we have done from India.
Right, right. And so one final question, again going back to the larger picture. Enzymes, I mean, when we read them theoretically, they tend to offer a lot of benefits. One of the key benefits being that in various applications, enzymes lead to better ESG compliance of your end customers. But somehow this trend doesn't seem to be getting reflected in the growth numbers for your company. So is the industry really that attractive, or is it a steady industry where 6 to 8% growth is what the broader growth is, without much pricing power?
Well, most of our focus area is like a food area, human nutraceutical, or the human nutraceutical area, and the animal feed area. We are not really focusing on the industrial side of the environment, like where we can say that you go on an environmental then it pays for those areas. Those areas are not our focus area at this point of time.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you, Nikhil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Shetty from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes, Girish.
Hello.
Yeah, it's still louder. That is not.
Sir, first question is on your subsidiary. So if I see JC Biotech, your Netherlands subsidiary and Skytech, while they've been contributing in terms of sales, the contribution to PAT has been negligible as in net profit. So how do we look at these three subsidiaries of yours going forward, as in over the next 2-3 years? And like, it will be sales as well of these three subsidiaries, they've been kind of flat over the last 3-4 years. So has it been due to, because these have been acquired just before, prior to the COVID period, or what has been the issue with the subsidiaries in terms of sales growth as well as negligible PAT contribution? That is my first question.
You talked about JC Biotech, Skytech, and which one is the third?
Netherlands subsidiary, as in which includes Evox as well.
So JC Biotech is more like supplying all the materials to Advanced. So I think we have increased the capacity in JC Biotech, and probably this year we will have more sales from JC Biotech to Advanced. So there is not a real sale which is going directly to the customer side. Okay, so you don't see too much of a difference in the JC Biotech number. Similarly, this Netherlands subsidiary is more like a research facility or research subsidiary, and we don't see the numbers are going to grow substantially. It gives us an added advantage on the research front and particularly on the protein name front. The third one is this Skytech. We had a degrowth this year and quite a substantial degrowth. About 13 CR we lost on the sale front this year. Going forward next year, probably we see a good growth, not coming to the original level, but at least at least somewhere around 45 CR from 35 CR, what is present level is. And we say the business should grow. We also launched the B2C products this year in Indian market. Our brand is Welfa, and we will see how we can take the Skytech sales with the Welfa as we move forward. In Skytech, there was another one incident this quarter, and that was there was a fire in their R&D facility, and because of that, we had to book around 4 crore loss on our balance sheet, because even though that material, that money is recoverable from the insurance, but still we haven't got a letter from the insurance company. So that's the overall picture, Girish.
Okay. Sir, and one more thing you mentioned about kind of 14-15% kind of growth for the coming year. And you also mentioned that a lot of your costs have been fixed, and because you did not get that growth this year, the margins are impacted. So suppose in a scenario where we are able to do this 14-15% kind of a growth, how do we look at as in growth in your other expenses, and eventually how will your margins improve in that case if you do that kind of a growth?
The manpower cost has to go up. The first target is go back to our original level, Girish. So that is our first target. Of course, on the fixed side of the cost, manpower cost will go up every year, months and months. But most of the other expenses will remain flat.
Okay, will remain flat, as in the other expenses that you, 138 crores, it is expected to stay in that range for the coming year as well.
Properly, do you have on that? Other expenses?
Rauka ji?
Really, the way I look at it, those numbers should remain flat. They will grow with some percentage, but not to the, not to those levels.
Okay. And so like 15% growth, and in terms of margins, you are saying like we did around 28-29% EBITDA margins, right, this year. So your normal margins, you are saying, should be around 38-40%. That is a fair assumption for your EBITDA margin?
Those are the first step. If, as we move on quarter and quarter, we want to go back to those levels. Then we can figure out where do we stand.
Okay, okay, understood. And sir, any update, as in on the US business, I wanted to know. So we were growing quite well, as in if I exclude the loss of the top customer you had, you were still, excluding that, you were growing at a 14-15% rate upon excluding this FY23. So what should be the expected growth from this business? And we had this flat year, right? Like I can see 9% degrowth in the US business. So how much can be attributed to currency fluctuation? And if I see like to like, how much has the business grown or degrown for FY23?
So I think, like I already mentioned, we degrowth by 15% in terms of dollar and 9% in terms of rupees because of whatever the currency we look at in US. Going forward, this year we see about 10% of growth in the because of the second half numbers, what is going to come up. Probably like the next one or two quarter will remain flat.
Okay. And this 15% decline has been the market rate of decline as well? As in overall market has declined at that rate, is it?
I'm not tracking the overall market here. I can't comment on that, but that is what we can say on the recession front.
Okay. And your India business has done decently, like 9% growth for the full year. So what has contributed to this growth, as in the which segments specifically has been done in the India geography?
So Indian geography, like we have grown by 14% on year-on-year basis. Roughly, and all of the segments have contributed. I think like all of the segments have contributed. The major contribution is came from the animal feed as well as like food business and bioprocessing business as well.
Okay. Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Tanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I had two questions. One was on, as a business, when we see, you know, that Novozymes is there and we also are kind of, you know, our product is very niche with a lot of customer stickiness. How does the pricing, you know, power plays in this industry? As you, you know, rightly mentioned that Novozymes took some 10%, 15% hike in some of the products. What is our ability to take price hike with our customers when, you know, in times when we are seeing, you know, significant volatility in the raw materials, freight, and, you know, other stuff that you mentioned? How does one look at, you know, pricing power for us?
The way we look at it is this is the opportunity when Novozymes or other people goes on and like increase the prices. What we need to give the message to the our customers or the future customers that we are there to support you at this given time. And honestly, we haven't like really gone to increase the prices. We get the prices stable.
And then does it mean that our margins would always be, you know, kind of cyclical depending upon our raw material prices?
Honestly, like the raw material prices really don't like make too much of a difference in the margin. They will like hammer you a couple of percent here or there, but you can always always compensate that with the increase in the sales, and that is where like our philosophy is.
So it's like more of, you know, volume over value approach that we have.
Yes, so we need to increase the volume. At this point of time, what we need to have is a more business rather than really looking for the increasing the percentage of margins. And that is where we need to differentiate the message to the consumers that we are there.
Sure, makes sense. So now the second question is related to it. Then if I look at a US business this year, it has kind of, you know, came down, and you rightly mentioned about, you know, the currency. So can you help me understand how the volumes have played out in the US business, and what were the key reasons why, you know, we saw this kind of decline? Like, did we kind of lose traction in a particular product or a set of products? Because in your opening remarks, you had mentioned that you have launched few of new products which are expected to get executed in, you know, second half of this year. So if you can, you know, give more color on the volume degrowth in the US market, key reasons for it. And when you say like this year we'll see, you know, comeback of the US market, what would be the levers for the same?
As I mentioned that like there is a like a recessionary trend, and there is a degrowth in the volume as well. When we talk about the 15% degrowth in the US market, what I said is like we did launch like the few of the segments in the US markets. The few of the segments are like in the paint area, and another area is like in sugar management and weight loss area. And these two products, sugar management, weight loss products, are really looking. Really, we see a lot of like traction in this market. We are getting some long-term orders also, and we see that these new launch products should take us back onto the track as we move on.
And when we say 15% growth, that of course means the US market will slightly grow at a faster rate. And with these new products, you know, contributing, the growth in the US market from the existing products also coming back would be higher. Like, because then why should we not grow at a faster rate? Because, you know, the degrowth in the existing products should also at some point of time come back. And then, you know, there are these new products that you're talking about. How does, you know, one kind of...
What we can map is just for a year or a near future, right? We cannot map for a longer period. Longer period, there are always going to be the projections. At this point of time, what we can map is like for a year, and that is what the mapping is being done. The way we see is at this point of time, probably like US market should do 9 to 10% of the growth this year on the last year's number. Taking those numbers forward, we come up with like about 15% of the growth this year.
Sure. And another question that I had was on, you know, human nutrition as a business. Like, if you see that segment as a whole has been kind of flattish this year. So this is largely to do with the US market slowdown, or the Indian business also had, you know, some headwinds in this segment?
So Indian business has grown up, like as I mentioned, like all the areas have grown up in India side, right? When we talk about like a major portion of the human nutrition business is coming from the US, and US is produced by 15% in terms of dollar or 9% in terms of profit, even though the flattish number in the human nutrition per UK, and that just contributes because of the Indian market.
Sure, got it. And when we, you know, talk about a large number of products in the pipeline, you mentioned some 25 products, which are the segments that we are trying to focus more? Is it the animal nutrition or human nutrition? And the recent growth that we are seeing in animal nutrition, is it driven by newer products, or it is, you know, existing products getting more volumes?
So the growth, what we see is the new products which we launch. And the human nutraceutical side, like we are working on these two areas, like the in this area, sugar management, weight loss areas. We are also like working in the R&D for our new products. How do we improve our products going forward? So currently, like product number one, going forward, how do we make product plus? And going forward again, how do we make product plus plus? So those are the focus areas for us on the human nutraceutical side and the R&D. We are working on a lot of enzymes on the food area. Also, like we are working a lot of enzymes in the biocatalyst area. And there are some different products and different way how do we launch into the animal feed area. But major focus which is going on the new product side is on the human nutraceutical and food areas.
Okay, and biocatalyst. Okay, got it. So my final question was on, you know, the margins. Like, while we have already touched upon margins a couple of times in this call, but, you know, just to clarify, you mentioned that the you know, this year we should be doing around 15-16% kind of growth, and large part of that would come in the second half of the year, given, you know, the product launches, the long-term contracts that you see. And you also mentioned that the margins would kind of, we kind of want to go back to the historical, you know, number. So is it fair to assume that we aspire to close this year with 40% margin, operating margin?
At this point of time, you know, but that should be our target in the long term, to go back to the those levels. But yeah, we should see some improvement from where we are at this point of time.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you, Kumar.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Ghatani from SG Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. So I just had, I had one question, so which was around Relfa. So I see that their products are launched on Amazon and the whole website, on your own website too. So I wanted to know, what is the strategy in terms of, you know, growing sales around that? Because so if I see certain competitors who are selling on Amazon and look at their financials, so like revenues are pretty high, but since it's a B2C model, they're spending heavily on advertisements, you know, probably loss-making on that. So I just wanted to know, what is the strategy on that, and what kind of margins are we looking at because of ad spends on growth? So how do we balance growth and margins? Just one question on that.
So, well, so we did launch, but we are not taking any revenue number when we are talking about, like, overall projections, what we have. We are conservative in terms of, like, in terms of going into the B2C also. So we will be spending about 3 crore this year on the Velfa brand to develop. And we will see what progress we make. Most of the strategy is based on the internet based marketing, as well as like some store marketing. But we are not going very aggressively on spending the money.
Okay. So because a lot of these other competitors have like a lot of private equity backed dry powder to just spend on. So just wanted to understand. That's very helpful.
But again, like as we get the sales and as we move on. So this is the initial numbers, like what I was talking about this year. It will be every quarter, and if we see that there is no progress, we may release those numbers.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. My other questions were answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jana, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I think my question already someone asked, I got the answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Nigam from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, first two bookkeeping questions. What is the revenue share of top 10 clients in FY23? And what is the contribution of top product in the overall sales in FY23?
So, Raukati can answer that first question. Raukati already said it's 24% for the last quarter.
Yes.
Okay.
And top 10 customer is about 24% in FY23.
And top product, sir?
And that is also 24%.
Oh, that is also good. Okay. And sir, just one more question. You alluded to India Pharma sales in your statement. Hello. Yeah. Could you please help, sir, understand how much was the India pharma sales in FY23?
Yeah, India pharma sales.
Yes.
So for financial year 23, you are asking, right?
Yes.
It's, I mean, you know, I'm giving you the complete breakup, so that will be very helpful. When we talk about human nutrition, pharma is one of the, like, you know, area. So it is 1475. This is about 27% of my top line as compared to 23% in FY22.
Got it, sir. Very well. Thank you, sir. Yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one.
So I think one question that was regarding, you know, our fixed expenses and variable expenses, if we grow, say, for 15%, then how, you know, our expenses are going to go up. So, I mean, the fixed expenses are generally, you know, about 45 to 50%, and variables are between, you know, 50 to 55%. So as we grow, you know, our top line, the variable expenses could be, you know, in the same kind of, you know, increase in expenses. But yes, the fixed expenses will not at all grow, and there will be some component which may grow, like as Mukund has already mentioned about it, which is you know, the payroll cost, which may go up, because, you know, that is generally, you know, every year this increment, annual increment is given, so that could be an increase in overall expenses when we talk about the fixed expenses side. But other than that, I mean, you know, we are kind of a FY23 at the highest level of expenses in that sense, because, you know, all elevated cost is already been absorbed, and going forward we don't see any this kind of, you know, unprecedented inflation and increase in the expenses. Power and fuel cost is a kind of, you know, cost which is semi-variable. So some component is kind of a fix, and there are some expenses which every year keeps on increasing irrespective of, you know, like Mukund has shared about it, the coal cost, but now coal cost is kind of, you know, stabilized. But yes, the power tariff is most likely to be increased because of, you know, the impact of the prices of the fuel. I hope I answered that question regarding the fixed expenses and variable expenses. So as we grow, if the increase in the sale number is, say, 1, the likely impact on our profits will be, you know, very positive. That's what, you know, I can say about it.
Thank you, sir. We have the next question from Shreyans Gathani from SG Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. So just one more question. So I want to understand, what is the product differentiation that you'll have, like, in Europe and the Americas? So I see that, you know, like, this fitness a very different level of growth than in Europe, and there's, you know, America is like a strong degrowth, whereas, like, overall markets are pretty similar in terms of, you know, recessionary pressures. So just wanted to understand, like, you know, if the products are mutually exclusive, or how are you selling in those two different markets?
America is like more focused on a nutraceutical area, right? And it's more on the human area, while like Europe, we don't sell much of a product in the human nutraceutical area. Our major sales is coming from the food. Food area, and as I mentioned, like, about the gas prices and other things and the cost impact what these people are facing, and that is where, like, they started looking for the alternatives, and that is where the growth started coming up.
Okay, so are we looking at selling food related products in the American market, or are we going to stick to the same product profile that we currently
have? We started working on it. We started like building the team in US market at this point of time, but it will take some more time.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings con call. We will keep you all posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you. On behalf of Advanced Enzymes Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.